Across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Tony?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm extremely well, thank you. What's happening in your world?
In the news this morning, yesterday afternoon...
No, I was asking what was happening in your world.
Oh, my world.
We'll get to the news. Middle of the week, not much happening.
Not much. Big have a story for you.
I knew it.
Yesterday we were talking about negotiating.
Yes,
right,
and we bargaining. Did that in Tuesday Life Hacks. Yes.
So last night my housemate's little niece came over.
Mm-hmm.
Gracie, she's very, very cute.
Mm-hmm.
And she came over already in her pajamas last night.
So kids that age, yep.
She was ready for a sleepover, though. She was like, I want to have a sleepover, and, you know, that has to be organized.
At Auntie Tony's?
At Auntie Jess.
Auntie Jess.
Yeah. No, I'm just the rebel dance teacher who makes her run around before bed. So she's like, asking for this anyway, it kind of gets let go. We cook dinner, and then like literally must have been like half an hour later, we're sitting at dinner. You'd think she's kind of forgotten that we were like, no, it has to be organized, blah blah blah. We're sitting there and she's being told to finish her dinner.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'll finish my dinner if I can sleep over.
Oh,
and I was
an
like,
ultimatum.
Oh, my God. What a little negotiator. Mm. She sort of remembered it from like 20 minutes ago. And she's like, I'm going to haggle my way to a sleepover.
And?
And she didn't sleep over.
She didn't sleep over. Okay, yeah. So, mum used strong arm tactics.
Yes. Just said, well, that's no, it. There was a negotiation and it's going to be next week sometime.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, they should form a union, kids, I reckon.
I was like, this is one out, so all good. Out. This is exactly what we were talking about. Here she is in action without
that's
even
terrific.
Knowing it.
Yeah. Did she do the walk away? Because that was your big tactic from yesterday, doing the walk away. If you don't get, but she kind of had nothing.
No, I put down another bet, so I told her I'd show a really, really scary face if she finished her dinner, and I did.
You going to show me, or you got to take your makeup off?
No, I can show you, but it's really not that scary.
That's great
if you're
radio.
Over the age of 10, you know? Just make my eyeballs disappear and told her I could see my own brain. But
someone's invented a mask that you can continue drinking without taking it off or anything like that. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's a good invention.
How does it work?
So it's got a little flap on it
on
the bottom there, and it's got a little hole like what you might get in one of those.
Yeah.
Prima. What are they called? You know the ones where you get the straw on the side of them and you put the straw in it?
Oh, yes. Like a drink bottle with that.
Yeah. What are they called?
I'm not sure.
Tetra Pak.
It'd be
or
great
something.
If it had a little like string, like, you know, when you pull the lampshade, if it had one of those and
pull it up and
opens up over your mouth.
But then you open your mouth up. See, this one you don't. It just,
oh,
you
don't.
Still breathe and it's down on the side.
Oh.
And you stick the straw in.
Like
and
a little
close
camel
the
pack.
Flap. Yeah, it's kind of like one of those hats where you have the two beers in it and the tube comes down.
Interesting.
It's a mask. So there you go.
Priorities.
I'm boring you. You yawned.
It's the middle of the week, Pete.
It is. It is a bit like that, isn't it? Yeah. Did you sleep badly last night? Because I noticed you were late for work this morning as well.
You weren't even here when I got here.
5:01. I thought you were talking about jeans.
I think it's because I was taking
well,
too
the
long.
The kid was round at your place.
You to get tights on this morning.
You got to de-stress after your kids.
Do you know what it really was? I always get my clothes out the night before.
You do. You've told me this before.
And I lay them out.
Yes.
And so last night I was a bit lazy and I didn't check the tights that I'm wearing and they had a hole. So I had to swap and that kind of like held me up because then I wanted to look and make sure, you know, that's what it was.
Yeah, because you don't get up with any time to readjust, do you? I do the same thing. You get up and you go, right, I've got time to do this.
Bang, bang, bang.
And this, and then I'm out the door. And if one of the thises goes wrong, then you're late.
Any woman or man who has ever worn tights out there will know that it's a fiddly thing. And if you, like, get it wrong, then it's like you kind of want to make sure that none of the others have holes.
Is this sort
or ladders
of like having the seam not straight or something?
I don't really. Quite if understand. If you have a hole, it's kind of like pretty obvious. Especially the tights that I'm wearing are like 100 denier, so they're very thick because it's cold.
100 denier.
Mm. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's a
about,
whole
nother.
That's a whole nother conversation. 100. That many denier.
That's it.
Wow, that's a lot of denier.
It is. And so,
what would a you know, not a very good quality pair of tights? How many denier?
Probably like 10.
10
denier.
Well,
it's not necessarily about the quality. It's about the thickness. So, you know, when you see someone
wearing
tights.
Is it like a
thread
count? It's like an Egyptian cotton 1,000 thread count, which I don't get
either.
That
might be it. I actually don't know. But I can find out.
Oh, denier. No, it's a good new word I've learned today.
It's kind of like, you know, you can see, but no one else can see how thick they are. You
they
can't
are
see through
thick.
To
yeah.
see this colour of your skin.
Yeah.
But if it's a slower denier, you can see through, you know, like pantyhose.
Yeah, okay. So they're a low denier. Yeah.
There you go.
Denier. No, I can walk down the street and see a random woman now and go, wow, that looks. They look at least 100 denier, are they?
And she would
and
go,
she'll slap me.
Who are you and where are the police?
You creep. What's happening in the news this morning?
Well, in a more serious fashion, there was another house fire yesterday in Gunnedah just around 4 p.m.
Yep.
No one was hurt badly. However, one person was taken to the hospital for smoke inhalation. So according to reports from people around town, it was a huge fire because you could see it from all over. It is actually the fourth house fire in the last month there in Gunnedah. So, police are investigating.
That's a lot, isn't it, really?
It does seem like a lot.
Seems like
it is also winter. So, I mean, I don't actually know if any of them had suspicious kind of sparks. But, you know, in winter, things like that happen with people leaving
fairly unlucky,
chimneys
though,
things plugged in that shouldn't be plugged
true.
In.
And your electric blanket that hasn't been, you know, used for the 6 months. And
exactly. The only thing is that the fire crews over there did say that so many people came out to look at the fire that the backup crew coming in their own vehicles couldn't get through. And so in this case it was...
So they're on the road, that means. That's,
yes.
It makes
in
me
this
angry,
case
that sort
it
of stuff.
Was... okay, because nobody was injured, everyone escaped the house. However, you know, in other circumstances, it could lead to like a grave tragedy if fire crew can't get there in time.
Have a bit of sense. You don't need to stand on the road, you don't need to get the best spot. It's a house fire,
So that happened yesterday afternoon. And then in Tamworth news, one of our local councillors will actually be joining another council as their interim general manager.
Really?
Yes. So Councillor Glenn Inglis, he's on the council here at Tamworth.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's going to be joining the Upper Hunter Shire Council as their interim general manager. He's got a lot of experience
in
that
kind of
office.
So where would you say Upper Hunter's at? Musselbrook? Down that
Scone,
way?
Scone?
So
he hasn't said yet if that's going to interrupt or pause his duties here in Tamworth. However...
So he would have been voted in as a councillor here.
Correct.
And the job would be a job down
it's
there.
It's a paid
it's
job down there.
Appointment rather
that's
than
right.
a, rather than a...
Which he has done the same role here in Tamworth and around other...
So
councils.
What happens on a council when one of them leaves? Do we have to have a little election or do they...
Yeah, so there
the
is nothing in the rules or regulations that state he has to leave his elected role.
Oh, he can still do this?
He can, yes. You can't be an elected person and an employee of the same council, but because they're different councils in the regulations and rules, it's okay.
However, I wouldn't always be happy with that, but it sounds like this guy, not Greg Inglis.
Greg Inglis has
it's
come
this,
to
it's not Greg
the
Inglis,
Upper Hunter Shire.
It's Glenn Inglis. Sorry
right.
about that, Greg Inglis. What a faux pas. Oh, geez,
I did the same
he's
thing
fast,
yesterday.
So,
talking.
Like, he would be able to make it between the two jobs. But a bloke like that, who sounds like he's got a great amount of experience,
he
and obviously
does.
They think he's good enough to do it. So, I reckon we keep him on the council because he's probably pretty clever.
Yeah. So, at the moment, there's not really anything being said. It was only decided just on Monday afternoon. So, still quite new. Being a general manager is a very consuming role for any local government area, not even if it's a small local government area. So there have been a few questions raised by people in the community about whether he can, you know, actively contribute as a counsellor whilst also holding that role. However, I don't think if you haven't ever done it before, then you can't really judge,
yeah,
you know,
look,
someone with his
experience.
There's
got to be upside for it as well. So there's going to be cross-pollination of ideas there. So he'll bring some Tamworth ideas down there. And while he's in his role down there, he might see something that they're doing, you know, in the council there, and say, actually, that's a great idea and we could do that in Tamworth. So it's going to give him a little bit of extra experience, a little bit of extra, you know, knowledge. And, you know, it
which
can only
is
be
also
a good thing,
good,
I reckon.
But also, you know, ethical issues there with the cross-pollination. It's great for ideas and positive things. The only time something might arise would be because we are, I think, neighbouring shires or like areas, like pretty close.
Well, Liverpool Plains would be between us, I think.
Yeah, true. Mm. There could be some competing for funding style things. Mm. However, being as a councillor here, he's democratically voted in and has one representative vote on council. He's not the general manager here as well.
No, that's right. Yeah. I think it's a good idea. If he's clever enough and good enough to do that, I think give him a go, because you
and
know,
if they're in need of someone.
One of the problems with council, and we're running way over time here, but one of the problems with council is anyone can do it. There's no qualifications required if you get
for
voted
what?
In
oh,
to
as
be
a
to be on a councillor. Yeah, so and it's the same with any politician, really. If you get enough people vote for you, you're in. There's no, you don't have to have any kind of qualification at all. If you're popular enough. Pauline Hanson's a good example of that.
Yes.
So you should
have ideas.
If you've got people that are qualified and knowledge. Are good, you should try to hang on to them. I've got about, my jeans, I reckon they'd be 300 denier. You can't see the legs through them at all. Denier, a person who denies something. I've got to get Tony back in. A prominent denier of global warming. Maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong. Got Tony back in here. She was in here for something else, but I've called her back.
Hello.
Hi, I've looked up denier, so I know what it is now.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah, so a person who denies something, especially someone who refuses to admit the truth of a concept or a proposition, i.e. that John is a prominent denier of global warming.
Denier.
That's not it.
Denier.
Oh, that's a denier. It's spelled the same. Well, a denier, what is a denier? Do you know what a denier is?
You tell me.
It's a unit of measurement that is used to determine the fibre thickness of an individual thread or filament used in the creation of textiles and fabrics. Fabrics with a high denier count tend to be thick, sturdy and durable. Fabrics with a low denier count tend to be sheer, soft and silky.
Do you know what? That's pretty similar to a denier's brain. What was it? Thick, hard, and
well, here's an interesting solid. One. Here's an interesting one. Do you know how thick a denier is?
Tell me.
A unit of measure for the linear mass density of fibres is the mass in grams per 9,000 metres of the fibre. The denier is based on a natural reference. A single strand of silk is approximately one denier.
There
a
you go.
A tiny little single strand of silk, which of course comes from silkworms, which eat mulberry leaves.
I used to have a mulberry tree.
We did too.
All over it.
Yeah, unfortunately we used to take the berries and throw them at each other, and my mum wasn't really happy with that because they stain really bad.
Yeah, they do. They do.
But you know, you have a big backyard with a mulberry tree in it and kids, and there's heaps of berries all
there's
over
likely
it.
To and just you don't find buy out white
that
clothes.
And you find out that once you throw one at the brother and it leaves a big splat.
Only emo
it's,
clothes.
It's just
black.
It's just like paintball, you know. So that was like an early version of paintball, having a mulberry tree in your backyard. And
do you know who else is a denier?
Who?
People who don't believe in wearing masks.
Oh. They're
thick.
Well, you want a good denier count on your mask, wouldn't you? Because you want a nice
exactly.
thick one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Look, I got an email from a guy who's sent this to. I got this in my personal
email.
He's about
100 denier.
He's 100 denier.
He's 100 denier. Just like my tights.
My fellow Australians, the science is conclusive. Masks and respirators do not prevent transmission of viruses.
Lies.
The
misleading.
Web page below shows a short 15-minute video presentation. Blah, 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 blah.
Full of conspiracy
thank
theories.
You. Yeah, I don't know why this guy, like, I don't know this guy. I've just got this. And I'll tell you who else is on it. He sent this email to me, Brooke Savage, who's the health minister in Queensland. Greg Hunt is on it. The news desk at Sydney Morning Herald. News desk at The Age.
I think
Anastasia Palaszczuk is on it.
He's going to do a
I've
really
good job. I've got all these
email
addresses now. They're pretty cool. Morton
a really
Council.
Good job at convincing the health minister by that 15-minute conspiracy theory he's got there.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
She's going to change her entire life, all her degrees. He's just, you know.
Yeah, because this guy's got a 15-minute video that he sent. He sent it to me. What a strange
You're
thing.
Important, Pete.
But it wasn't like 2TM. It was just me personal, along with all of these other, luminaries. The denier is based on a natural reference. A single strand of silk is approximately one denier. A 9,000-metre strand of silk weighs 1 gram.
Wow.
So that's what it is. One denier is 1 gram.
That's why they say you wear tights and you feel light but supported.
There you go. Thank you for that. Well, that's all I needed you for there.
All right.
Just the denier bit.
The deniers.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth Zone 1287 2TM.
Interesting to see some cruise ships are back cruising now around the world, and you wouldn't believe what happened, would you? There's two of them already that are struggling with the coronavirus. I feel really sorry for some of these cruise ship operators and people that work in that industry, because I don't know how they've just restarted this. They're not here. They're not in Australia. There is one in the Pacific and there's one up in the Northern Hemisphere. But unfortunately, we've got another Ruby Princess type situation unfolding. Not in Australia, but in the cruise ship industry. I don't know how they recover from this. They're going to need to have the whole vaccine thing working and everything before you're going to be really confident to go on a cruise. Especially with people that picks up people from all other different countries. It's just, you know, it's such a great holiday to have a cruise, but very, very risky these days. A bloke who ignored his wife to park near the sea, near the beach over there in the UK, unfortunately lost his car after a rising tide engulfed it. A Coast Guard spokesperson said the hapless motorist's wife told him to stop, but he carried on, ending up with the car's wheels trapped in soft sand as the tide rose. A driver who wanted to park closer to the sea will probably never hear the last of it. After ignoring his wife's advice, see, that's the worst thing, isn't it? If she's right. And in this case, she was right in spades as the tide came in, and unfortunately, in the Burnham-on-Sea, Somerset, the hapless motorist got stuck in the soft sand. The diver decided he wanted to park as close to the water as possible, even though his wife had told him not to. The front wheels of the car dug in as the sand gave away, leaving the vehicle stranded. The rising tide then came in rapidly, completely engulfing the car, meaning they were forced to abandon it completely until after the tide went out again, and by then it wasn't that good either. The Coast Guard said the vehicle would now not be accessible until the afternoon at the earliest. Posting on Facebook, the Coast Guard rescue team said, a couple had taken their car out on the beach and the driver just wanted to get closer to the water. I don't know what accent that was either. Just as his wife said to stop, the front wheels dug in, the soft sand gave away, and you know the rest. They're getting it towed out later on this afternoon. Being rich makes you a worse person. So that's good, isn't it? That's good news, because let me tell you, I haven't got any, and you probably don't either, so it's a good thing. Well, neither of us are rich. And look, it's been proven by some scientific studies, including by Paul Piff, PIFF, while having money doesn't necessarily make anybody anything, the rich are way more likely to prioritise their own self-interests above the interests of other people. It makes them more likely to exhibit characteristics that we would stereotypically associate with, say, bastards. He's kind of an authority in riches-driven jerkism. In an experiment, he sat random people to play a computer game involving dice, where the winner, with the winner getting a $50 gift certificate. But the game was rigged, so everyone got the same score. It was impossible to win without cheating. Can you guess who was more likely to cheat? Here's a hint. It wasn't those who needed $50. The richer Pete you were, the more likely you were to cheat and get the $50 gift certificate. Pip's findings are disturbingly consistent. He found that cheaper cars always stop for pedestrians at crosswalks, thank goodness for that, while high-end cars only do it half the time. The most popular luxury cars are built like tanks. they'll only stop for you half the time because they're very busy and important and have lots of money. All of this well-documented ass-wipery aligns pretty much well with the pointless petty stuff the rich do in the wild, like accusing a guy of this, that, and the other, or pointing to people and all that. So he gave one guy all the money in a rigged game of Monopoly, so that the rules were unfairly skewed towards one of the players who also started out with a lot more money than the others. In short, he took a board game created to illustrate how screwed up capitalism is and added an extra layer of gritty realism. There's no surprise or plot twist in this story. As the game went on, the rich player would act like a complete bastard, smacking the board with his pieces and making fun of the other player's brokenness as he took all their fake money. They could clearly see something was off with the game that gave them an unfair edge, and yet the winner would end up boasting about their wise investments and their superior monopolying skills. Sadly, we've got no info on whether anyone belted him in the end. But there you go. So that's why we don't have hovercars today. I can go on if you like to.
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
Let's go to the States now, find out what's happening over there in the good old US of A, and we're going to Altoona, which is a city in Pennsylvania. An Altoona man is in jail on felony charges after police say a woman found him in her home with her fedora hat in one hand and a sports drink from the refrigerator in the other. Now we're doing this now. According to Altoona police, Adam S. Zurch allegedly walked into the house, took a Powerade from the refrigerator and drank some of it before he walked to an upstairs bedroom and took the hat. Police were called to the home of the 1500 block of 3rd Avenue after the woman found Zurch in a second-story bedroom holding her fedora. I don't know why he thought that was thought it was quite fetching. She said she was soon getting ready for work in another bedroom, which she was getting ready for work in another bedroom when she heard an unknown voice. When she walked into the other bedroom, Zurch was standing holding the fedora and the sports drink. He then asked if he could have the hat. I love this hat. Can I have it? She told him, no, you can't. And as a matter of fact, I want the drink back too. Zurch allegedly started to explain that he was drunk. Thanks for the explanation there. And he fell over. After a couple of moments, the woman grabbed him and pushed him out of the house and in the process collected the hat and the Powerade from him. Police found Zurch walking down the block and indicated that he was unintelligible when he spoke and had a hard time answering questions. He told officers multiple times he was trying to get to a friend's house and he fell over again. At first, Zurch denied entering any house, but he said he went to the home to ask for help and the woman had allowed him inside and said he could have the hat. He also said he may have lived at the house at one time, but he couldn't quite remember if he'd lived there. According to the charges, Zurch was booked on felony counts of burglary and criminal trespass, along with misdemeanor counts of theft and receiving stolen property. And he's gone into the slammer and he's not allowed to wear a hat anymore.